So before we dive into this case, I just wanted to give a disclaimer. In this podcast, we do talk about sexual assault, sexual harassment, assault in general. If these are any topics that kind of trigger you or make you feel uncomfortable, I suggest clicking out now, but enjoy the rest of the podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to our podcast, episode one. Are you excited, Luis?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Heck yeah.
I literally cannot wait. Like, I've been so excited this whole week.
It's all we've been thinking about. We've for just real. Been planning this for forever, you know, forever.
Well, a week.
Okay, you know what? Whatever. Let's just not tell them that. Everyone, my name is Charlotte Stradley, and
I'm Luis Lopez.
And we are just so excited, if we haven't mentioned that before. What?
Did we mention we're excited?
Oh, yeah. We mentioned that. So our podcast is called Survivor Stories, and I've been into true crime for a really long time. Like, if you know me, you know that I'm obsessed to the point where people tell me to stop, you know?
Yeah, like, it's her calling.
It's my calling.
Not your. It sounds messed up.
But. Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm not like into the sad part of it. I just think it's very intriguing, right?
It just stimulates your mind.
Yeah. I guess that's the way to put it. Yeah. I mean, how long have you been into true crime for, Luis?
You know, I kind of like just got into it. Like, with my new job that I got, I do a lot of driving. Yeah. So I just like put on podcasts while I was driving. And I would like find myself like listening to those. I kind of had to like stop though for a little bit because I'd be going into like empty houses with like these like, scary thoughts in my mind.
And I was BRB, like, yeah,
I can't listen to this anymore.
No,
but
I get that.
No, it's definitely something that like definitely it intrigues me. I like it.
Right? It's so good. Because
like I love horror films too. So it's like,
see, I like listening to the podcast. I can't watch horror films.
Oh, no.
No, I like Criminal Minds and stuff. I just don't know if I can listen.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Criminal Minds.
You know what? Don't judge me. It's the best. We love Criminal Minds. Also, just to preface, I am a little bit under the weather today.
She has coronavirus.
No, I do. Do not be telling them that. I have strep throat. So if you, if I sound a little weird, if I just can't breathe at all, it's because I'm dying and my throat is just swollen to the point where I can't breathe. But it's fine. All right, guys. So just a little bit about our podcast. We are so thankful that you're all listening to our first episode. Welcome to episode number one. Woo! I would cheer if I can. My throat can't go that high right now. Yeah, we're super pumped. Today is our first episode, and just a little bit about the podcast. We're going to be going into true stories of actual events that have occurred within the true crime world. Specifically, I'd say like murders, I don't know, scary tales.
Yeah, just like
serial.
Not killers. Really, we're not really putting like a
label on it.
Yeah, or like a limit to it. Yes. We want to do a lot of different things.
Totally. I like that. We're not putting a limit to it. That should be, we should make a band and call it No Limit.
Like No Doubt.
Oh yeah. Except ours would be better.
No.
So cute. I can't sing it either.
No Doubt's my favorite. Okay. Don't speak for yourself.
You can sing. You should sing an intro for us, please.
Ooh, whoa, yeah. Just kidding. Do you know what that's from?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole like Miley Cyrus. Like, yeah. Like, okay, anyways.
Yeah.
They're probably stopped listening by now. They're like, who are these people? They're crazy. So we back on topic because I ADHD, gotta reel it in. One thing about our podcast that we want to make like really specific is the fact that a lot of our stories will be focusing on really cool tips of how you can survive in situations, because I know as a female I've been in a lot of situations where I've been scared or in a potential dangerous situation, and I've wanted to know how to fight back. So not just fight mentally, but you know, I feel like there's different parts of it. There's a physical, there's the mental aspect.
Yeah, I mean, like everything that like all these stories that we're gonna be like researching and just kind of getting into, I think you could like take a lot away from them.
Totally.
Like, a lot of like these girls, like the amount of just like bravery that they had to have, and like I don't even know like really how to explain it, just like these are like
no, yeah, exactly. Like, it's the fact of the woman who are able to survive and tell their stories. Like, it doesn't just take the actual bravery of being strong in the moment, but after.
Especially after. Like, if you listen, like, the story that we're going to get into today, like, a lot of these girls have, like, really talked publicly about, like, their experience. And, like, you can really, like, see, like, just, like, inside their brain, like, problems that they go through, like, years and years later.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And with that being said, I'm very excited to be talking about our first story of the podcast. Today, we are talking about the courageous and brave story of Brianne and Kaylee Lassley. They are two sisters from Salt Lake City, Utah. And everything changed when one night, just shortly after they moved into their new house, they had a strange man break in and attack them. And something that I want to preface before this is these two girls, they are survivors. So we will be talking about an actual survivor story, and they have spoken on many podcasts, many interviews. And so a lot of the sources I did get are from them speaking on multiple channels, but I do want to preface some other sources. So I got some of my sources from Courtney Beyond the Cake, Murder with My Husband, The Art of Joy, ABC News, and many other newscasts, broadcasting, I don't know, whatever, and Meredith Vieira Show, and just some other clips on YouTube of their actual videos. So just want to get into it. Are we ready?
Yeah. So from, like, my perspective, I haven't really heard much about Brie or Kaylee, like, their story. I've kind of listened a little bit to a podcast, but I really wanted to come into it kind of blind.
Mm-hmm.
That way, like, I could just kind of, like, you know.
I mean, understand it from, like, a listener's perspective.
Relate to it from a listener's perspective.
Totally. And we'll be switching off as well. That way I can understand from a listener's perspective, and so can he, because we both have so many stories we want to share. So let's get into it.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. So Brie and Kaylee Lassley, Brianne, she goes by Brie. She was 27 at the time of this incident, and her little sister Kaylee was 23 years old. Now, Brie and Kaylee, they have grown up in a very conservative Mormon household, and their whole life they've lived in different parts of Utah, but mainly Salt Lake City, and they had just moved into their first house together. At this point, it was about 7 to 8 days after they moved in and they were getting everything settled in. This specific night, Brie was just doing, she just quit her job as a dental hygienist, and she was working in Acro English and starting her own business. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, that is cool.
I know. She just loves helping people. So mm-hmm. She was just like, I'm going to start a business where I can just help people learn English and make a better life for themselves, which I just love her. She's incredible.
Yeah, that's dope.
What a woman. We love her. And her little sister, Kaylee, she was on a trip a few days prior and had just gotten back with her boyfriend the day before. So on this very specific night of September 23rd, 2015,
Brie, she's the older one?
Yes. So okay. Brie is 27 and okay. Kaylee's 23 at the time. And they had just moved into their new house in Salt Lake City. And on this night, it was September 23rd, 2015, they had been living in this house for 8 days at this point. So Brie was just sitting there. She had just said goodnight to Kaylee. Kaylee just went down to her room. So before we get into the actual story, let me preface the house. There's three floors. It's kind of like a split home where there's a first level where you walk in the door, and then there's a 3 or 4 steps up to the second level. And from the first level, there's a basement about 17 steps below. So basement, first level, and then a few steps above the second level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
So Brie was living. Her room was on the second level. So the highest floor. And she was just chilling there. Now, it wasn't exactly ground level because it was like a split home. So you could get up, I'd say, if you put like a chair, like a little ladder underneath. But it wasn't something that you
could just... Like from the outside?
Yes, from the outside through her window. You can just hop up. And they also had about a 7-foot fence surrounding their home. And they shared this. It was a duplex. They shared it with an older aged woman. So... with that knowledge, so Brie was just sitting there, and she was about to go to bed. It was about 12 o'clock at night at this point, and they had been getting the house ready, and they were tired and ready to sleep. Kaylee just went downstairs. She was on the first floor, and she had just gone to sleep. Brie was sitting there in her garments, just finishing up some of her last-minute work, when all of a sudden she heard a voice. And Bree's first thought, like all of ours would be, was like, what was that? Like, there's no way I just heard a voice. It's literally midnight. There's a 7-foot fence. There's no way. We live in Utah, Salt Lake City. Like, this is a nice neighborhood. So Bree kind of minded her business and forgot about this. And then a few minutes later, she heard the voice for a second time. And this time, she heard it clear and loud as day. She heard a man's voice say the words that would literally change her life forever. Hey, girl, I'm coming in. She literally heard a random man say that. Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Like, what's up? Like, it's a terrible situation, but, like, what a weird way he posted it. Yeah, no, that's really creepy. I know. Very creepy, right? So, hey, girl, I'm coming in. As soon as she turned her head, she saw a big man crawling through her window, going headfirst into her open window and right into her bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah. So this man, let me get a little bit into his life for a second. So this man, his name was Robert Berger. And Berger, he had just escaped from prison very shortly. Like, I want to say, I think it was like a week before, he had just escaped from prison.
Escaped or was released?
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Don't let me. He did not escape. He was a terrible person, but he did not escape.
I was going to say, he was just released from prison for a week.
However, he did escape from a halfway house that he was currently staying at. So sometimes when you're released from prison on parole or whatnot, you will go to a halfway house.
Okay, so he was like sneaking out of the halfway house.
So he was in the neighborhood. However, he was not fully out of the custody of the state of Utah, and he was still a criminal. Now, I mean, I don't know much about halfway houses or the prison system in general. However, letting a man out who, I mean, obviously we're going to find out he's very dangerous, but that does not seem like the whole system did its job there. Like, just letting him roam the streets. I mean, obviously he was crazy. I feel like there should be a little more repercussions, right?
Literally, like, I feel like when you're in a halfway house, I mean, I have no knowledge.
I know neither of us do.
But, like, I feel like you probably do have, like, a curfew. They probably monitor you, like, somewhat. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point of a halfway house.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, there was some watch there. But, unfortunately, it was not enough. Because Berger, which is his last name, he had actually broken into a house in the same neighborhood about 30 to an hour before. So 30 minutes to an hour before, he had broken into a house just a few houses down on the street that they were living on. And luckily, this family, it was either a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend. They were living there with their child. And he broke in the window. However, the man was able to get him out and was able to rescue the family and call the cops. Now, what they didn't know, what obviously we didn't know then, was that Berger was actually breaking in to get the knife that he would be using in the attack against the girls. So he had been watching the girls. He didn't have what he needed on him, so he broke into another house down the street to be able to fully attack them. And, I mean, obviously it's so terrifying. However, this does lead to events later coming up. So Berger, going back to him, he had just escaped from prison, and now he
was released.
Released, thank you. I'm just, everyone to me is just escaped from prison. Do not listen to me anymore. Louis, you want to do the rest? So he had just been released from prison. He was entering Brianne Lasley's room. So the first thing that she hears is the, hey girl, I'm coming in. She turns her head, and as soon as she turns her head, she sees Berger busting through her window. And what he's doing currently is trying to put his hands on the floor so he can roll in, kind of like somersault in. Mm-hmm. And her first thought is, I mean, obviously there's a fight or flight instinct. And actually a really crazy statistic that Bree has shared many times is the only 80% of women do not, or 80% of women, they don't fight back. So only 20% of women are able to fight back in a situation. And I want to reiterate, it's never, never the victim's fault for how you respond or what you do in that situation. However, that's just a cool statistic to keep in mind. That way you're able to remind yourself that maybe if you're in a situation like that, be part of the 20%. Force your body to be able to fight back.
Yeah, because, get that percent higher.
Right? I know. Because that's what ended up saving their lives. So Brianne, she froze immediately because that was her instinct, which, you know, not to blame her, that was just her instinct in the moment. Berger, he immediately came into her room, and she started offering him things, because her first thought was, maybe this is just a drug addict, maybe he just wants money. So she said, hey, take my keys, my wallet, my phone, my laptop, take my car, take anything. and he did not take one thing. And that's how she knew that this was going to be a really long night and that he was there for her. He was not there for her things. He was there for her. Ugh. Scary, right? Just gives you the chills.
Yeah, it grosses me out.
Yeah. So the first thing he did when he entered her room is he slammed her against her wall and said, "Shut up and cooperate or I'm going to get your little sister." Now, Bree, she knew nothing about this man. She did not know who he was, what he looked like. All she knew was that this man was coming for her, and now she knew that he knew she had a little sister.
Yeah, she wasn't even, like, upstairs or anything. Right? He literally just said that.
So that means that she now is registering. He's been watching them. And like any big sister would, you don't want your little sister to get in trouble. So her first thought is, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure he does not get to my little sister. So he takes her down to the second floor, which is the floor where Kaylee is living. Her little sister.
So, but, like, the base floor?
Yes,
the first
so floor. The main floor where you just walk in, that's where the kitchen is, the living room, the dining room, everything like that. And Kaylee, Brianna has described as a very, very heavy sleeper. She's one of those girls where you can literally be drilling in the wall next door and she will not wake up. So as soon as he took Brianna down to the middle floor, the base floor, she realized, well, hopefully Kaylee will just sleep through this. And all he'll do is just attack me or, trigger warning, rape me. And that'll be all, and he'll leave. So her first instinct was, okay, I just need to be good. She even thought, actually, about getting a knife from the kitchen. However, she realized that if she has a knife and he grabs it from her, it's bad. So speeding up here, so they start going to the kitchen, and that's when he starts kicking her and punching her and fighting her, basically just trying to weaken her, because in her thought, in her mind, he's just trying to rape her and just get her. So all of a sudden, while she's doing this,
yes, because she's like, just rape her, like, that sounds so, like, bad to say.
True.
Like,
yes, she, in her mind, she wasn't thinking that he was trying to kill them or take Kaylee. She was just thinking that he was gonna attack them. And, you know, also commit that terrible
act. So she's
act.
Just, like, thinking, like, yeah, like...
Yes.
As soon as... Whatever he's gonna do, like, just do it, like...
Just get it over with, because I don't want my little sister. And at this moment, she was still not fighting back, because she was... That was just her instinct. She didn't know what to do in the situation. So all of a sudden, she hears a scream. As Robert Berger, this man, is over her attacking her, she hears a yelling, a screech, and realizes it's her little sister, Kaylee. Now, Kaylee had just woken up and was on top of Robert Berger's back as he's leaning over Bree, punching her. She's clawing at his eyes. She's grabbing him. She's hurting him. She's doing everything in her power she can to get him off of her and to help Bree. And then Robert starts punching Kaylee. So Kaylee joined in the fight, and he realizes she's awake, and he's like, okay, now I need to get her too. So at this point, Bree was still, she was in shock, but she realized, holy crap. He's hurting my sister. I need to do something. And that's
like
when
all
she
all of a sudden, just like that,
yes.
Adrenaline
yes, right?
In.
The adrenaline was kicking in. She realizes, I need to fight back, and I need to protect my sister. Because, I mean, I'm a big sister. I would do that in a heartbeat. If my sister was being hurt, even if my original instinct was to stay there and just not do anything, I would go, like, full mama mode. You know, I would go attack dog on her. And, yeah, so she was just... pounding him, and they were just both attacking Berger, and he was attacking them back. Now remember, Berger's a 6'2", 210-pound man. This huge, sweaty man. He was even shirtless when he entered their house, so he was this big man. And Bree and Kaylee, they're like 5'2", 5'3", at the max, maybe 5'1". So there are some small, tiny, short girls trying to attack this man. And what the girls didn't know, but they probably realized throughout the fight, was that he was on drugs, and no matter what they were doing, it wasn't hurting him. Which was scary for the girls, just realizing, holy crap, this man is not feeling what we're doing to him. How are we going to survive? So that was scary for both of them. They started fighting him dramatically. And then their mind goes, Bree's mind, so the older sister, her mind goes, well, as long as he doesn't know about the basement, we're fine. Because hopefully someone will hear us and see us, and there's light through the window, so maybe someone will see us and call the cops. And then she realizes, oh, crap. He threw Kaylee in front of the basement door. So he clearly knew that there was a basement down there because he threw her in front of the door, which was open, trying to get her down the stairs. And obviously his mind was going to, oh, if I get them down here, no one will hear or see them. And the basement was 17 stairs down below their main floor. So obviously no one's going to hear or see them. So all of a sudden, he takes a huge kick and shoves Kaylee, who had just woken up and joined the fight, down the stairs. Now, she didn't hit one stair. Instead, she flew. She just flew straight down, and the thing that stopped her fall was her head landing in a wall. Now, what? The crazy thing about this is like a miracle. The wall that her head hit was the only wall in the house that was not made of brick. It was a wall that was drywall. So it was the only wall in the house that didn't have brick on it.
Holy crap. Like, that's, yeah. Like...
Yes. And this fall... She flew down the stairs. This fall, it should have killed her.
Yeah.
It should have paralyzed her.
She hit a brick wall.
Yes. We'll be posting some photos on her Instagram, and I'll show you the photo of the indent of her head in the wall. And that could have killed or paralyzed her. There's no way she should have got up and continued to fight. But she got up.
Yeah, the adrenaline in her was just like, nope.
The next thing that happened, she just got up and started fighting. However, at that moment, Robert Berger and Bree, her older sister, he tried to shove her down the stairs. However, she grabbed onto his shorts and they went tumbling down together.
Yeah, yes. Bree.
Go Bree. We love her. What a queen. So at this point, all three of them are in the basement, which at this point, guys, just to preface, it is pitch black. You cannot see a single thing in this basement. There's no light on. There's no windows. It is pitch black. So the girls are literally fighting in the dark. At this moment, the girls realize that they have their cell phones on them. Like, literally, they have their cell phones on them, because this was back in 2015. I don't know if you remember, Luis, but people would have, like, their phones with, like, on their case. There was, like, a wristband attached to it. I don't know. It was, like, a big thing in, like, 2015.
I never remember that.
Okay. There was, like you know, just, remote? Like, yes, yeah, like a Wii remote. Like a Wii remote. Like, you know how that has that wristband? Yeah. Okay, there you go. We'll post a picture of a Wii remote for you guys. So both girls had actually had their cell phone on them attached to their wrist and didn't realize it till this time, because the cell phones were the only thing lighting up the basement. So while they're both attacking Berger, they both called 911. However, Bree called 911 first, and she said, "Hey, Siri, call 911. Siri said, "I'm sorry, Bray, what did you say?" And literally did not recognize her voice. Like, insane. And then she goes, "Hey, Siri, call Dad," because her thought is, if I call my dad and hang up, I'll be able to have the keypad. So that's exactly what she did. While they're fighting, keep in mind, they're both fighting this man, punching and kicking and everything that you can imagine. So Bree ends up dialing 911. And this is probably the saddest part of the story for me. She is talking on the phone with the dispatcher for a minute and a half. And she's screaming her address. She's screaming that they're being attacked, that they're being punched at, kicked at. They need help, that they might die. And the dispatcher keeps asking questions like, "Who's trying to kill you? Like, okay, can you please quiet down, Bree? I'm trying to understand what you're saying." Like, the dispatcher is literally annoyed with this girl.
Insane. I want to listen to this. Can we listen to it after this?
Yes, we'll listen to it. Okay. And I can see if we can put in some clips of it as well. But yeah, it is the most insane 911 call I've ever heard. And then this goes on for a minute and a half. Bree's calling the dispatcher for a minute and a half. And then Kaylee calls the dispatcher four other times. And the same thing goes on. So in total, their calls ended up being about 5 minutes long to 911. And this dispatcher was very, very, I mean, she was disrespectful to them. She was rude. She was just, it seemed like in the moment she was not doing her job. So their thought is, okay, we call 911 and they tried again. However, Robert, he had been in jail for so long. I think it was 18 years before he got let out, that he didn't know who Siri was. So they were lucky that he didn't catch on at first. They were trying to call Siri. he literally goes, "Who's Siri?"
You can hear him in the call?
Yes. It's not on the call, but Bree says this in one of her interviews. He literally said, like, "Who's Siri?" And he was getting frustrated. He's like, "Where's Siri?" He's like looking around the room. He's like, "Where's the Siri?" So Robert ends up finding out what they're doing and throws their phone across the room. And at this point, they have a little bit of light. But then Bree turns her head, because Kaylee this whole time was screaming. Kaylee was the fighter. She was the one who was kicking, who was screaming, who was doing everything in her power to get him away from them. But at this point, she realizes Kaylee's not talking. She looks over in the room because her phone was shining a little bit of light, and sees Robert with his disgusting arm with, like, those veins bulging out, strangling Kaylee against the wall. the same wall that he had threw her through. Like, that's just, you've already done enough to this girl. You've already kicked her head through this wall, and now you're strangling her on this wall?
Yeah, but, I mean, he obviously came to do one thing, like, to kill them.
Yes, exactly. And it's just heartbreaking when you think about it. It's like, how did they have to go through so much this night? It's just terrible. However, we're very glad, and everyone in their life is glad to know that they're still alive to tell the story, but it's just...
You just ruined it. Just kidding.
Well, I said it already, okay?
Yeah, I know, I'm joking.
Spoiler alert, the girl survived, if you didn't know this, even though I've said it 40 times, Luis. So, at this point, she sees that he's strangling her, and Kate and Bree, she is a tiny girl. Remember, she's the older one. However, she's still tiny. There is no way that she can jump over, like, a fence or kick a wall. However, she, in this moment, has, like, superhuman strength and tackles Berger to the floor. Like, she literally charges at him and just tackles him, and he gets off Kaylee. And this saves Kaylee's life. However, now Bree is face-to-face with Berger, and he's on top of her at this moment.
I don't know. Okay. Yes. This probably isn't, like, a... it's not, like, a good...
Say it.
thing to compare it to, but just, like, the whole time you're telling me the story, the only scene that's, like, going off in my head right now is, like, have you seen Nacho Libre?
Yes.
You know, when they're fighting, like, the two little...
So, everyone, I just, like, want to preface that this is an important story. This is not Nacho Libre, okay?
I know, not funny. Shouldn't make a joke about it, but that's just, like, what's going on in my head.
No, I get that. Your mind is really funny and cute. I'll give that to you. I'll give you that one. Yeah, Nacho Libre. We love that.
Okay, so she tackled him. Yes. He's now strangling her.
Yes, absolutely. So at this point, he's not strangling her, but he's on top of her. He's on top of her, yeah. Yes. And all of a sudden, there was no light in this basement. However, there's something shines. It wasn't the phones. It wasn't something. Bree, to this day, still believes it was like an angel was shining a light over them. And she saw Robert pull out a knife from his pants and realized he had had a knife this whole time, but they were too busy fighting that he didn't get it out because he was too busy fighting the girls.
Yeah, or he's just, like, playing with them.
Yes,
like,
exactly,
game.
Exactly. So he pulls this knife out, and this was not a knife. I mean, obviously, there's no knives meant for humans, but this was meant for an animal. This was a hunting knife, and just the thought of something that just grotesque being able to be used against an actual human. It's just so disturbing to me. The fact that he just had so little disrespect for the girls, that he pulled out a knife meant to kill animals for their meat.
Yeah, almost like he thinks it's like a sport.
Yes. Like, it's terrifying. It's just awful. It's awful. And I believe this is the knife that he actually got from the house he broke into previously. Differing sources said different things about where he got it, but this is what I'm just going to stick with. So he got the knife, and he pulled it out. And before she was able to know anything, she told Kaylee, he has a knife. And this was the first time that the girls realized it. At this point, Kaylee realized he had a knife, and Bree said, go get help. She yelled to Kaylee. As a sister, I would want to stay there with her to be able to help her in any way possible, right?
Yeah, but, like,
yeah,
if my sister was yelling at me, like, go get help, like, I'm like
heck no, I'm the help. I'm the help, right? Like, good luck. What are you going to do without me? No, like, seriously, though. It's like, what if she can't find someone and then her sister died and she wasn't there to help?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So it's kind of like that selfish mentality of, like, I'm not going to get help. I can help you. I don't know if I could have been strong enough to go and get help.
Well, not even selfish. I think that's just, like...
And it's just a response. Like,
sibling love.
Response,
you know
right?
what I mean? Like, no, it's I'm not going to leave my sibling.
Yeah, absolutely. But Kaylee looked past that part of her that said, no, stay... She said, I'm going to do what I think is best. And she followed her instincts in this moment, and she went to go get help. So Kaylee started running up the 17 stairs to the first floor. And at this point, you can imagine, like, if you knew your sister was being stabbed by a man, you would be sprinting as fast as you can. And when she got to the top...
I'm floating up those stairs.
I'm flying. I'm Superman up these stairs. She turned the kitchen light on. And so now Bree finally had an idea of what was happening right in front of her, because it was still pitch black, like, up till this point, besides the little glimpses from the phones.
Yeah, but now she could, like, see the light from the
right?
upstairs.
So now the light is kind of shining down in the basement, and she can see. And what she sees is Robert stabbing her. She probably would not have known it because of all the adrenaline, the fear, and everything going on.
Yeah, however, your body's just, like, in that much shock.
Yeah, so she saw the knife, and she saw it going in her. And something that was very interesting about Brie is she had a lot of issues with her body. Like, she was on blood thinners previously to this, and she had a lot of weird conditions. However,
Blood thinners, though, that's dangerous. Yes. That's like how you bleed out.
Yes. And so the grace of God, her doctor told her 2 weeks before this happened that she should get off the blood thinners. And she thought, no, why would I do that? Why would I do that? But she listened to him. And if she did not get off those blood thinners, she would have been dead in 30 seconds.
In a minute.
A minute. Exactly. But she was able to follow like her doctor's intuition, and she got off them. And literally a day before, the blood thinners wouldn't have been out of her system. This day was the one day that she was able to like recover, be done with them. And that was what saved her life. I mean, there's so many things that saved her life in this instant.
But like, yeah, instance. That's just like one little thing that was just like, wow.
So crazy. So crazy. So at this point, so we're going to flash to Kaylee. So Kaylee is outside and she is running like a maniac. Like, could you imagine? Like, she's screaming, she's yelling, she's doing everything she can. Like, her voice is full blown warrior mode, you know? Like, she's going insane.
She's hollering.
She's hollering. She's like, I don't know. I think of the lady from, anybody got time for that? You know, that lady when she like ran out of the house, I ain't got my shoes or nothing. I just ran in love with Jesus. Like, that's what I imagine Kaylee saying in an interview after. Like, I just ran. Like, I can literally imagine her saying that. But she was just screaming and running. And a super amazing thing that happened was there was a man about, I want to say, like a mile away, a few blocks away. And he heard these screams. But he wasn't just any ordinary man. He was an officer off duty who was responding to a totally separate break-in that night. And he was an officer off duty responding to it.
Wait, was it the one from earlier?
So this was actually a separate break-in. However, some sources said that it was like, that this was the break-in, that the officer came from that house. However, I'm going to stick with the main sources that I read, the more credible ones. And I'm going to say that this was a separate break-in. Most news outlets and Brie and Kaylee have said that. So he came from another break-in. And he actually heard it, and he was about to get off duty, and he was a canine officer. So he had a canine in his car, and when he heard these screams, he thought, like, he had his windows rolled up. And he says normally he would have not have been able to hear anything, like, nothing at all. However, he heard these screams, like, loud and clear as day, even though he normally would not have been able to. So he stopped and tried to go finding the screams while leaving his dog in the car, because this was a very obviously hostile situation, so he didn't want to bring his dog out. And that's when he saw Kaylee. As she was just fighting to save her sister's life. So
she's running down the street.
Yes, she's running down the street, and she runs into this officer. Now, we're going to go back to Brie. So Kaylee right there, as Brie is experiencing what I'm going to describe right now, that is when Kaylee is running to go find the officer. So now Brie's in the basement with Robert Berger, the evil piece of human scum that we know, and he literally would be the diarrhea on my shoe. Like, he's disgusting.
Ooh.
I'm just trying to think of
he's gross.
Yeah, okay, anyways, we can edit that out. That was disgusting. Downstairs in the basement, she is realizing that he knows what he's doing. These are prison stabs. These are not just any ordinary, like, okay, I know it sounds weird, but like, prisoners, when they are in jail, like, they have a certain way of attacking and killing people. And like, these are like prisoner stabs, like trying to find specific areas of your body to target. So he was trying to target her aorta. And that was his goal. He stabbed her about 4 times, twice in the abdomen, and then I want to say 2 or 3 in the leg. So he was just, it was terrible. He was hurting her to the point where she didn't feel in the moment, but after it happened, like, it was the most painful experience she's ever felt. I mean, could you imagine? Yeah. Like, that would be terrible. So he's stabbing her.
Do you know how many times she was stabbed in total?
Yes, I believe. Let me see. I have it written down. Okay, I can't find it. But anyways, I think it's 4 or 5. She was stabbed about 4 or 5 times for sure. And he was not just doing it gracefully, obviously, but he was digging in and going, like, back and forth, zigzagging in her skin. So this was not just like one easy little,
yeah, it's like a yes gash.
Like,
it's,
obviously this is
torturing,
terrible, right? Torturing her. So as he's doing this, he's whispering in her ear all these evil, terrible things that he's gonna do to her body after she dies. Like, you can use your own imagination on that. I'm not gonna go into that.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, no. This is a family-friendly podcast. Our families are probably gonna be listening, even though this is not a family-friendly topic. However, we're not gonna go into that detail. Okay, we'll save that. So at this point, he is just brutally attacking her and whispering all these things. And she's struggling to fight. Like, she's like, I know I'm going to die soon. I don't even know if Kaylee has found someone to help us. I don't know if whoever might be helping us is going to be able to do it. She's struggling to fight. However, she thinks about her family. She thinks about her sister. And something in her mind is telling her, just keep fighting. So then, Berger pulls her up like a rag doll and holds her in front of him with a knife to her throat. And something in her mind was just like, keep fighting, Bree. And I have no clue how she did this, but she found a strength to literally like punch him or kick him and do something that made him like drop the knife. And nothing really happened from that except it just delayed her and gave her more time to be able to survive. So he grabbed her, picked her up once again, and held the knife to her throat. Then all of a sudden, she saw two shoes coming down the stairs. And that's when she realizes someone's there to save her. So going back...
Right in the nick of time.
I know, right? Right in the nick of time. So going back to Kaylee. So Kaylee realized when she was running outside trying to find someone to help Bree, she realizes that man that she sees is an officer. And all she can do is just drag him and scream and bring him to the basement. So they're sprinting. Like, if you had been fighting for as long as they had, I'll tell you at the end how long they've been fighting for.
Well, I'm sure you could probably see it all.
Oh, my gosh,
probably
right?
Looks like she just got
yes, her up. Head. She probably was bleeding. She was just probably a mess.
She flew down 17 stairs.
Exactly. So at the least, she had a concussion. So they just go sprinting to the stairs. And Kaylee's standing outside trying to get neighbors to call the cops. Because at this point, no police had been there. Interesting. So she's trying to get neighbors. Oh, what were you saying?
I'm just saying that's kind of crazy.
Like,
they called the cops, what, you said five times?
Yes, five times.
And
or four times, sorry. Four times, but 5 minutes in total.
So they've called multiple times.
Yes.
And no one's even there
yet.
They've gotten away from this man, went and ran outside.
Just Kaylee was able to run away from the man and try to, like, help find Gail.
Yeah.
But no one was there. And that man, the officer that was there, he wasn't even there to respond to that. He was there to respond.
Yeah, like, the dispatcher,
yes.
She had, like, they had to have known, like, there was an officer
terrible.
Right there.
I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, but, like,
happened.
They had to have known there was a dispatcher there, and, like,
not
she couldn't have been, like...
Because he was off duty, but even if there was a dispatcher in the area, she would not have called them. So I'll get into that in a little bit, but... So Kaylee's outside trying to get people to help while Bree and now Officer Ben Holm, which I just need to shout him out, Officer Benjamin Holm, you are an incredible human... He runs down the stairs and finds Robert Berger with a knife to Bree Lassley's throat. Officer Ben Hone had so much logical reason to be able to just shoot him immediately. However, with the grace of his heart, he said, drop the knife down. He treated him like a human, not just like a terrible, evil, vicious piece of crap like he is.
Well, yeah, he obviously walked into a situation.
Yes.
He doesn't know the situation.
Right?
He just knows that there was
yeah.
screaming and two girls getting beat up
Absolutely.
By a guy.
So he says, drop the knife. Drop the knife. Drop the knife. He says it three times. And that's when Berger says, get back. I'm going to stab her. And as soon as Berger went to slash the knife across Bree Lassley's throat, he pokes his head out to be able to find the angle to do it. And Officer Ben Holm, like, this is literally like a scene in Criminal Minds. Like, it's insane. He takes one shot to the nose. Because if
Boom!
He... Yes.
Dang, dead shot right in the center of the face.
If he did it to any other part of his body, if he did it to his lip, his eye, his shoulder, whatever, he would have finished that response and
yeah.
slit her throat.
I mean, obviously, this man's probably, like, all cracked out.
Totally.
You know crackheads have, like, superpowers.
Oh, yeah. Scary. I don't ever want to come in contact with them. Freaking crackhead. So he is able to stop his central nervous system by shooting him directly in the nose, and he falls to the floor. He takes Robert Berger's life to save Bree Lassley's. So at this moment in time, they are just freaking out. Like, Bree and Kaylee, like, Bree is still, she's still close to dying because she has stab wounds all over her. Ben carries her out of the house as they start to get their neighbors over to the scene to call the cops and help everything. And this is just insane, but they're actually, their next door neighbor had two EMT medical officers in their house. So those two EMTs, they ran outside with their gear and started putting their hands inside her wounds just to stop the bleeding. So by the grace of God, there was EMT officers there. There was the whole neighborhood was trying to help in whatever way they could. However, there was still no cops. So it turns out all of the phone calls that Bree and Kaylee Lassley made while fighting their attacker, not one officer was dispatched. Not one call by them or by a neighbor, by anyone, was sent out.
Even though
it reached the 911 dispatcher, none of the calls, like, reached the actual authorities. They didn't do anything about it.
And you, like, I need to listen to this.
Yes, it's insane. Call,
because mm-hmm. you even said, like, there was, like, you could just hear him screaming and stuff. It was like, terrible. How do you not know, like,
yeah,
911 is for an emergency. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're in an emergency situation like that, like, you're not going to be able to grab the phone and be like, oh, this is my address.
Yeah.
I'm being attacked by a 6'2" white man.
By the way.
Like, no. Like, if you hear screaming and stuff, like, obviously there's something wrong.
Totally. Yes, exactly. So, what they found out later was that this, the training that was for the dispatchers, Bree Lassley sued them, and she's in the middle of a trial against them right now, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. Mm. However, I know, crazy.
I would sue the crap out of them.
Heck out of them. Yeah, so at this moment in time, all they know is that there was no calls being dispatched, but the training that was sent to this, I don't know, the 911 call,
like, the training facility for the dispatchers.
They actually had a certain protocol where you have to ask a certain amount of rigorous questions before even considering sending out officers.
What?
Yes. Which, I mean, it makes sense if you're, like, trying to make sure that no stupid prank calls or anything gets sent in. Like,
okay, but, like, still, yeah, like, the main priority is, right? It's an emergency line.
Most of the calls that are to 911 are emergencies specifically. So it's terrible and disgusting. And that woman, I'm sure she lost her job, and obviously, there's a lawsuit going on now, but more of the story, it was wrong.
She probably felt terrible after.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's such a bad situation, but we're lucky to know that the girls are alive now. So, Bree and Kaylee Lassley were taken to the hospital, and Bree was insanely lucky. He missed her aorta by literally an inch or a centimeter. It was, like, so severe that everyone in the ER room thought that he had slashed her aorta, but he hadn't. Like, he was so close. So, by the grace of God, once again, Bree ended up surviving. And an insane fact about this is that Bree actually runs her own organization today called the BIA Movement, which was previously known as Fight Like Girls, which is another amazing source. I'll put it in the show notes. But one thing that she really talks about is fighting is not just physical. She says that the day her fight started was the day that Robert entered her home. Her fight is so much more than that. It's mental, it's emotional, it's physical. It's so much more than just fighting with your fist.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was just like a normal night for her. She was getting ready for bed, and all of a sudden this man, hey girl, I'm coming in.
Like, it was just a completely
like your home's life. Supposed to be like your safe space. Like, absolutely. Especially your bedroom. Like, that's where you're supposed to go at the end of the day and just, like, feel safe. Yes, and he totally just took that from her.
Totally. And Kaylee, so obviously they've been able to talk about their experiences a lot since then. And she's really reached out and said that her fight has been a lot easier than Bree's has. Like, she's healed a lot easier than it's been for Bree. And obviously they both have gone through very traumatic things. However, everyone heals differently. And I feel like that's a really important factor that everyone needs to realize is there's no right way to heal. There's only just healing and moving on from your situation. And only, like we said before, only 20% of women are able to physically fight back. If Bree hadn't been influenced by Kaylee to fight back, who knows where they would have been today? Like, could you even imagine? Yeah,
like, she just complied. Like, obviously, he was just trying to kill her.
Yep.
Like, at the beginning when she was just like, I'm just going to comply with him.
Yep.
And save my little sister. Like,
mm-hmm.
Little sister saved her.
Exactly. They saved each other. And she thought in the moment that, oh, yeah, he was just going to do whatever he needed to and get out. But no, he was there to kill them. And, I mean, there's so many huge miracles in the story, like the officer being there and taking that insanely perfect shot and the fact that they both survived and they made it through the fights and they were able to, I don't know, there's just so much amazingness to the story. However, there's also just that trauma of knowing that Robert Berger, he should not have been let out of prison.
Yeah. I mean, Right? I guess there's not really any way to tell. You can't just, like, keep someone in prison for the rest of their life.
I mean you can. You can.
But, like...
yeah. I mean, like,
for
I
what
get
they're
point.
Charged, you know what I mean?
I get your point. But it's like, just such a hard way. Like, don't sue us anyone for saying this. But it's just, like, a hard way to deal with the situation.
Yeah, it's just really... Yes. It's unlucky. Right. Like, it's just... It's horrible.
Yeah. The prison system's very complicated. Obviously, we don't know everything. We really don't. So, the fight ended up lasting 15 minutes, which in your head, you're probably like, oh, 15 minutes. Like, that's how long I take to get to work or something. You probably don't think it's long. But when every second you're fighting to save your life, you're fighting with your arms and your legs as a tiny 5'1" or 5'3" girl against a 210-pound, 6'2" man, those 15 minutes are just the longest minutes of your life.
I mean, yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, just one quarter of a football game is 15 minutes.
Exactly. One quarter of a football game is 15 minutes in that whole time. Like, players need to take breaks for a reason. Like, yeah. You know? Like, there's reasons why there's timeouts and breaks like this. Like, they cannot just constantly be fighting. And that's not even fighting for their life. That's just fighting
that's
in
just
a game.
Yeah, that's just playing a game.
Right? Like, could you imagine? So, this has been the story of Bree and Kaylee Lastly, these incredible, amazing, powerful woman who just were able to defeat the odds and stand strong and fight for their killer. I'm sorry, fight against their killer, not fight for it. Right? Completely the opposite. Yeah, that's just a little bit about this story. And obviously, there's so much more too. This was a very great and brief overview I was able to get out, but there's a lot. Bree has spoken a ton on many podcasts, many sources. They've been on many news shows, so you should check them out and support them, support the BIA movement. So that's the story. Yeah, our first story. How'd it go?
That was good.
How'd you like it, Luis?
That's
scary
like crazy
enough.
Like, I can't believe, like,